sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. It's Mr. FSP, Vic Gardner, and the place to be. Welcome to this episode of FSP. We got a great show lined up for you today. There isn't much to talk about as far as, well, there is. Let me not say that. There's stuff to talk about in the sports, but right now we're going to focus in on MMA and football. Today's show, we have two of MFC's, which is Maximum Fighting Championship. We have two of their fighters coming on the show. One would be Jorge Lima. He's pretty much a newbie to the game. He's a part of the True Fight Club. He's 3-2 right now. He's in the 115-124-pound weight class. So we're going to have him on today, along with someone you're a little bit more familiar with. He was on Ultimate Fighter. He was the kid that came into the octagon smiling all the time. Smiling Sam Alvey is also scheduled to appear today on the show. He'll appear later on. We're going to have Jorge on first. And then, once my co-host JTAK Money calls in, we're going to break down the NFC South. Now, when I say there's not much going on in the world of sports, what I mean by that is it's Aaron Hernandez or it's the Blackhawks versus the Bruins or it's the NBA Finals that just completed. I'm not sure what tickles your fancy or what made you tune in to sports this week, but that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, with that being said, I was hoping my co-host would call in any day now, but I'm going to get into a couple things before we get to Jorge. I want to talk a little bit about the ability to take all the negative energy out and just focus in on a championship. Do I think that the Heat deserve that title? Maybe not. But we're going to talk about it. I believe I got my co-host on right now. JTAK Money, is that you calling from 732?
Yes, it is. I'm on my way home, so it may be a short lapse. So I just wanted to call you. As you know, I don't know if you got my text or not.
No, that's all good. I got you, bro. I got you. I was just going to talk about the NBA Finals that just completed a little while ago, a couple of days ago, when, you know, LeBron talking about he ain't got no problems.
You got sour grapes.
Sour grapes? Me?
Yeah.
No, I don't have sour grapes. Look,
yeah. Look, I heard what you just said. They deserve it. Come on, man. Yeah, they deserve it. And I know you want to talk about it. Wait till I get home. You can expound whatever you want to get found on because there was a lot of things that were established come that game, and I want to expound on them when I get home. So I'll call you back in about 10:15.
All right, bro.
Is that cool or what?
That's cool. That's cool. Jorge's going to be calling in at the same time, too. So what I'll do is I'll go ahead, I'll play a couple commercials, I'll give Jorge a call, and from there, we'll get on the road. All right?
Well, cool. All right.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, before I CJ, before I go to these commercials, I wanted to talk a little bit about, yes, I have a little sour grapes, just a little. It's not much, but, you know, you've got this team that seemingly everyone is rooting against and a lot of executives are rooting for, playing a team that is fundamentally sound, even though they didn't play like it in the last game, with a chance to win the NBA title, despite a lot of the quote-unquote misgivings of the referees. What do I mean by misgivings? I mean there were calls and then there were no calls, and things that definitely should have been called were not called. So I have my issue with that. But I don't think the entire NBA Finals was a waste of my time. I thought it was a very good Finals. I really did. It was a very good, thrilling Finals. I just think that LeBron is taking, you know, I don't care what people got to say about me. I'm just LeBron from Akron and all this other mess. Cool, dude. Cool. He says he ain't got no problems. He doesn't. He owns a lot of property, and this is a smart thing, not about LeBron. He owns a lot of housing developments in Cleveland. For the, underprivileged, but subsidized housing facilities. So he has a lot of different things on his plate, you know. So LeBron is there doing his thing. And, well, hold on. I got two calls in. I know one is going to be Mr. Jorge Lima, our MMA fighter from MFC, and I know the other is my cousin. So what I'm going to do right now is bring in Jorge, and I'm gonna drop my cousin in a minute because I have a question for him as well. But ladies and gentlemen, from the MFC Maximum Fighting Championship, I want to bring in one of their young fighters, Jorge Lima. Jorge, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great, my friend. I'm doing great. Welcome to the show, Fantasy Sports Politics. Again, this is FSP Vic talking to you. Thanks for appearing on the program.
Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. You're young and up and coming, and there's a lot of fighters out here in the California area that, you know, they join gyms, they have a desire to fight, things of that nature, and I wanted to bring some MMA guys on. You and Sam agreed to appear on the show, and I'm greatly appreciative of that, but I wanted you guys to talk to the listeners about MMA versus boxing, as well as your careers in mixed martial arts. So you're up first. You're up first. So tell the folks a little bit about yourself and where you came from, what you do, and what your record is.
My name is Jorge Lima. I'm from San Francisco, California, born and raised. I'm out of Hayward. I'm fighting in Hayward out of a True Fight Club in Hayward, California. My style
right
is my style is boxing and Muay Thai. I prefer to keep the fights on the feet, but of course, you know, I work my wrestling and my jiu-jitsu, and my record is 3-2. And my next fight will be at Dragon House MMA August 24th in San Francisco.
Dragon House. Okay, who's your opponent?
My opponent is yet to be determined. They're finding a matchup for me. So, it doesn't matter who they give me. I'll be ready. So,
all right. Well, that's what every fighter says. When that promoter calls, I'll be ready. Now, I'm going to tell you, I just saw of one of your rival cards on the UFC where Big Country, Roy Nelson, who I think is a very good fighter, I mean, he just doesn't have the prototypical body of a fighter, he went out there on short notice, and he didn't look like he was ready, and he let a young cat just destroy him. How do you prepare for an unknown fighter?
The thing is if you're always training, if you're always training, you should just be always training everything and every day. And, you know, just that itself will just help you get ready. Like, hey, you know, if you're training every day, Monday through Friday, like with me, I train every day, Monday through Friday. I'm in the gym 4 hours every day. And so I'm working on everything every day. So, you know, when they tell me, hey, you're fighting a boxer, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, you know, I just did boxing. So, and then, you know, if you're in shape, you know, it shouldn't be a problem. Like also with Sergio Perez, who fought last night. His opponent, he got a new opponent a week notice, and he won by knockout in the first round.
Mm. Wow. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about why you decided to become an MMA fighter as opposed to boxer, because you said your fighting style is boxing and you're orthodox boxer or orthodox mixed martial arts stance. Why one over the other, especially in this area, where boxing is, you know, you got a lot of boxers in this area as well.
The thing is like, so it was funny because I was watching TV with my stepdad. I was watching, it was the WEC at the time. I was like, oh, these guys, I didn't know you could fight people and, you know, make a career out of it. And he was just like, yeah, if you want, I'll sign you up if you think it's that easy. And I thought it was easy at the time. I was like, oh yeah, I think I could do it. You just put on some gloves and start punching people and kicking people, you know. But you know, that was like the street mindset, you know, where I was like, you know, I'll mess these guys up, you know, trying to punch me or kick me like that. And then you know, my first day at the gym, I signed the waiver, I sparred with those guys, and let me tell you, I didn't even make it past the first 2 minute mark.
What? You were winded, or they just beat you?
They just, you know, like, well, first I winded because I was throwing every punch like a haymaker punch, and then these guys are just slipping and dipping, and then all of a sudden, you know, at the time, one of my teammates was like, all right, my turn. I was like, wait, what do you mean your turn? And then starts kicking me and punching me.
They switched out on you.
Yeah, and he just, because all the time I was throwing, he was just defending, you know, and then I was kind of like, wait a minute, why is he not attacking me? And all of a sudden, All these combinations landed on me, and I dropped, and I was like, oh, no, I'm done.
So were you working out with the Diaz brothers? Because they're out of Hayward as well. So who else was at that gym that you were working out with or affiliated with at the time?
Yeah, so at the time, I joined. And now we have Evan, my instructor, his name is Evan Esguerra. He also trains out of Half Gracie in San Francisco, which produces like one of like a whole bunch of like massive UFC fighters who are in the UFC now. And then their instructor, Kurt Oslander. Yeah, he's like a jiu-jitsu wizard. He's like one of the best. And so my instructor, his name is Evan. And he's also fighting today, actually, for the War MMA, the Nick Diaz promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so okay. He fights tonight. And then he also has his boxing coach, Eddie Croft, who's out of San Mateo. So we have a whole bunch of group of guys who come in and they help us, or we go to them and they help us.
That's excellent. So why did you choose Maximum Fighting Championship? You know, you've got all these partners, and they're going to these different organizations. Why did you choose MFC?
Just because, you know, they have the best fighters. You know, they have all the best fighters, and, you know, I just want to fight the best fighters to get me into the, you know, the UFC hopefully one day and, you know, just prepare me, you know, to get me into the UFC. So, because it's like, I feel like a lot of guys, you know, there's a lot of guys, I'm not going to say any names, but they, you know, they're like 10-0, for example, right? You're like, oh, these guys are 10-0, but you look at their record, and they fight guys who are like 3-12 or something.
They fight scrubs.
Yeah, you know, and then they make it to the UFC, and then they don't even get past the first minute, and they're wondering, like, oh, what happened? Because your opponents, they kind of, you know, they weren't good.
So, in other words, you have to – your thinking is you have to fight a better opponent in order to better yourself so that you can advance in this career field.
Yeah.
Is that about right?
Yeah, and then it's also like, how are you going to know where you're at in the game, you know, if you don't, you know, fight somebody who is at least almost as, if you would say, hey, I'm 3-0, give me a guy who's like, you know, 2-0 or 3-0, you know, like, you know, do it like that, you know, like, don't get guys, if you're 5-0, don't fight a guy who's like 0-3, how does that benefit you at all?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a great takeaway because a lot of folks, as you said, they go to the UFC or whatever big promotion at the time, Strikeforce or anything like that, and they go over there and, you know, they think they're hot stuff, but when they get in that mix, they just get tore up. I mean, they just really get tore up.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, there's a fighter. There's a fighter out of my home city, D.C., Washington, D.C., happens to be your weight class champion in the UFC. I'm not going to mention his name right now. You probably know who I'm talking about because he's in a different organization.
Mm-hmm.
How would you like to fight this young man and see where you are? I mean, nothing major. I mean, it doesn't have to be televised, but how would you like to get in the octagon with this guy just to see where you are? Because he is right now the king of your weight class in the UFC.
I would like to fight anybody who they give me, you know. It's just like, hey, this guy, all right, you know, let's do it. You know, I'll just be like, I don't really care about my opponents, really. I don't really, like, watch any videos of my opponents. I figure them out as I'm fighting them. Like, okay, so he's good at this, he's good at that. He keeps shooting on me, so it's obvious he wants to take me to the ground, you know. So as I'm fighting them is when I start to figure them out. And, you know, my main focus is just to be prepared for any situation and in any fight, in any, like, any position that I might be in, you know, how to get out of it or how to counter to it. So.
That sounds like a smart fighter. Now I'm going to bring on my co-host real quick because he's very obstinate. He's very opposed to MMA. He thinks it's nothing more than back alley street fighting in a cage. So you guys are about to – I'm serious. That's what he feels. And my cousin feels the same way. He just lit up too. So let me bring on my co-host, JT ATM Money, Mr. Taylor. Come on and speak with Mr. Jorge Lima, MFC MMA fighter.
Well, first of all, Mr. Lima, I want to welcome you to the show. I appreciate you spending the time, taking time out of your day to spend some time with us.
You know, thanks for having me once again, guys.
No problem. As you heard from our esteemed host, I'm not a fan, and I'm not going to back down from that. But I'm going to give you the opportunity, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, to try to convince me.
You are.
On the art of MMA, on the sport of MMA. Tell me why I should be enthusiastic or should become a watcher of MMA, if you can.
So have you ever watched any, like, old, like, traditional Bruce Lee movies?
Yes, absolutely.
Like Enter the Dragon and all those movies?
Big fan of Bruce Lee.
Yeah, it's like that's where I feel like MMA kind of not started, but I feel like that's where MMA kind of has, like, that mixture of all these different sports being used in a fight. Like, let's say you're fighting a guy who's a kickboxer, you know, and you're a boxer. You're not going to kickbox with him, so why not just box him or wrestle him or, you know, or do jiu-jitsu? So it's like, you know, I feel like there's just all these different mixtures of things that you can do. You're not just, like, you just don't have one tool available to yourself.
Okay.
I mean, that was a good answer.
That was a very good answer.
And there's a UFC fighter right now. Like, you could look him up on YouTube, or, you know, he's, like, destroying the UFC middleweight class, Anderson Silva. And then he uses a lot of, like, boxing techniques, just boxing techniques. Like, he beat a fighter just boxing him. Like, he made a miss. He kind of just kept counter-punching him. And then the fighter just dropped and just knocked out. He knocked him out just by jabbing him.
Oh, yeah.
So,
this fighter, he fights on the 6th of July in Las Vegas. I'll be in that area at the time.
Yeah, and you check him out. Like, you know, hopefully, you know, you change your mind about MMA, and just watching the things that he can do to people. It's like people train for months to fight him, and he makes you look like you don't know what you're doing.
Sort of like Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, like I'm actually a big fan of Mayweather also.
Boo, boo, boo. You made me mad, Jorge. But I'm going to bring on my cousin real quick. I'm going to bring on my cousin. He's another, I'm not going to say he's an opponent of MMA, but he really, really loves boxing. So I want to bring him on real quick, and I believe he has a similar question or something like that for you. So I'm going to bring in Mike. Welcome to the show.
I don't have no question. I have a complaint. What the hell you keep speaking for people like you know them, man? You don't know me.
I'm going to mute you. Can you please ask or make your comment to our guest? Thank you very much.
We're muted. I'm going to sit right here. I ain't saying that. Till you get back on LeBron. How about that?
All right, well, I tell you what, Jorge, I know you got training to do. We can talk a little bit more for, like, the next 10 minutes, and I might get your thought process on the NBA and stuff like that. But tell the folks out there who don't know what the MFC is and how they can get in, you know, follow the next fight, because you fight really soon. So tell some folks about that.
So my next fight will be in Dragon House MMA in San Francisco. They produce a lot of, like, they produce amateur fighters also, so it's an amateur card and a pro card. So I'll be fighting on there August 24th. And just follow them at DragonHouse.com. They're on Facebook or on Twitter, and you'll get all these, all the updates, and I'll be fighting on there. So, you know, just for everybody who wants to see good stand-up, I'm hoping I'm going in there for a win, so I'm going to be training harder than my last fight. I'm always training harder than on my other fight, so.
Well, I have a question.
I have a question.
My question is this. I imagine you know your opponent, and what's the strong weak points?
No, he does not know his opponent.
How soon leading up to the fight do you know your opponent?
I should probably have an opponent within, like, 2 weeks. I just found out about the fight yesterday. So,
okay.
So within probably, like, a week or two, they'll give me an opponent. But, you know, like, whether or not they have an opponent for me, like, in 2 weeks or maybe in 3 weeks they find somebody, I'll still just be training just, you know, for the call to tell me, hey, we got a guy for you. I'll be like, all right, cool. Yeah, but cool. I'm hoping my opponent, they tell me my opponent within, like, 2 weeks, so 3 weeks, so. And the thing about my weight class, I'm pretty sure he's going to be a wrestler or a jiu-jitsu guy. So,
is that the standard that how do you have an idea of what type of style this guy's going to be against you if you don't know your opponent? That's what I'm asking.
Oh, because I fight at the 125 category, and the weight class is called flyweight.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much typically everybody in that weight class, they're all, like, they all come from, like, wrestling backgrounds or jiu-jitsu backgrounds, because, like, they wrestle through college or high school, and, you know, that's just what they, because the weight class is really so small that, you know, they're just, you know, they wrestled there all their lives, and, you know, they're like, hey, we could wrestle at 125, why not? So a lot of guys don't come from, like, and the thing is now a lot of guys are starting to be more wrestlers and grapplers, and you know, I came from, like, the traditional stand-up where I just like to stand up with everybody.
Slug it out.
Yeah, so
Jorge,
that's typically everybody who's going to be.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
A great fight. I believe it. I mean, you're short in stature, but you won 3 of your fights by knockout. So I think you got a little power in your hands. What do you prefer? You prefer a knockout, a submission, and I know you don't prefer a decision, but, you know, a knockout or submission, which one do you prefer?
I just prefer the win, like, just the win. Like, if
mm-hmm.
I could win, like, if I could dominate this guy, like, just, like, all 3 rounds and not go to the decision, but if I could dominate him and the ref stops it just because I'm, like, on top of him and just pounding him, then, you know, the ref will stop it. I would like that. Because the thing is about if a knockout, I mean, if I, you know, most of the knockouts you set up, but then it's like, I feel like with knockouts, people are always like, he caught him, he was lucky or something, you know. So it's like, if I, you know, but people don't know, hey, this knockout got set up. It wasn't a lucky punch that I threw, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always just how you said, just win the fight, you know, no decision. I just want on my record, I want it to just all be submission, TKO, KO. Submission, TKO, KO. So.
It's fun. You want to win it in impressive fashion. That's the thing, so that another organization will see you. You got a question. I'm not sure if Bellator has a 125 weight class, but if they have one, how likely would it be for someone like you, I guess, to try out for it or to be selected to participate in that tournament? Because I'm looking at this thing on Spike TV where they are taking like 100, I mean, not 100, about 60 or 70 fighters. They're picking their coach, either Randy Couture, Greg Jackson, or somebody like that, to participate in this event. And the payout is to be in Bellator and fight in that tournament. How likely is your career to go in that direction if UFC doesn't come knocking?
Yeah, I mean, if Bellator comes knocking on the door, you know, I'll definitely, you know, do Bellator. What I like about it is that you're always staying busy. So you have a fight, it's a tournament. So if you fight, you know, you're on to the next round, and then 2 months you're fighting again. You know, you fight, if you win, you go to the next round, and 2 months you fight again. So you're always busy, always busy, always busy.
So that's the question I have. Again, my follow-up is, comparing Bellator to UFC, UFC you can fight probably like 3 times a year or maybe twice, maybe even 4 times a year. But in Bellator, if you lose that fight, you're done for the season. You have one payday. You know, how does a fighter deal with that? You know, because I know you guys have multiple jobs outside of being a mixed martial artist, but how do you deal with possibly not being able to fight for another year?
Yeah, that's the thing with Bellator that, you know, it's a little, like, difficult because, so, a lot of guys get put on contracts where, there's a Bellator fighter they have now. He can't fight for Bellator right now because he has, like, visa issues. But it's like sometimes Bellator lets you fight outside of the promotion. But technically, when they call you, you still have to go back to Bellator.
Well,
so,
you know.
But there's times, too, you know, where, like, you say you just lost the tournament and you're out of the tournament. You know, you're just like, you know, I want to keep fighting, but, you know, Bellator doesn't want to, like, let you in the tournament, so you might have to just, like, wait or just train, or you might have to just tell them, like, hey, you know, I want to fight. This is a fight I have coming up, you know, can I do it? And you have to go through, you know, all these legal stuff and, you know, all this crazy stuff.
So they pretty much control you. They pretty much control
you.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Bellator is kind of like, you know, Bellator is a good promotion, you know, it's a really up-and-coming good promotion, but what they do, too, just to make sure you don't go anywhere, they kind of lock you in. So you have to make sure, you know, when you sign on the dotted line that you have to, hey, you know, you have to see that. They're not locking you in, you know, so you can kind of go on your free will, you know.
Okay. Well, Jorge, I want to thank you for coming on. Jerry, you got any more questions for Jorge?
No, I don't.
All right. Tell folks how they can follow you and how they can reach you. And promote that fight again for everybody out there listening.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you guys for taking the time and having me on the show. It was real good talking to you guys, so thank you guys. And
people can
follow me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook, just Jorge Lima. And I'm also on Twitter at Jorge Lima MMA. Just follow me on Twitter or on Facebook. And I'll also be keeping people updated on my fight and, like, my career in general. Just on my Facebook or on my Twitter. So I'm fighting August 24th, Dragon House MMA. For everybody who wants to come out and watch a great night of fights, you know, just come out to San Francisco at the Kezar Pavilion, and I'll be fighting.
All right, Jorge, good luck, and hope you move up in the ranks in MFC and get that title shot that you posted on Twitter, if you want that title.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I want
and,
that title.
And be your friend to the show. Come back whenever you want to. If you ever play fantasy football, basketball, or baseball, let me know. I got a couple leagues you can join if you got the time.
Okay. Yeah, no, definitely.
Right.
Thank you.
All right. Jorge Newman, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
Thank you for having me.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take it easy. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jorge Lima, MMA fighter of Maximum Fighting Championship. Young kid, very young guy, very enthusiastic. Again, he just got in the fight game. His apparently it was pretty much his dad said, "You really think you can handle it?" And he threw him in there. And the kid's 5 fights, 3-2. So hopefully he'll do well. He'll come back to the show, and if he makes it big, or he'll just come back to the show, period. Remember, later on, we're supposed to have Sam Alvey. He was a fighter on Ultimate Fighter, season, I believe, 15 or 16. He's the one that always walked to the cage smiling, and even when he was fighting, he was smiling. So he's on Twitter as Smiling Sam. He's going to come in. He's giving a class right now, so hopefully we get him in another 20 or 30 minutes. But right now, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to bring my cousin in, and we're going to talk about LeBron James and NBA Finals, and we're going to transition directly from that to the NFC South. Stick and stay, won't you?
If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a shit in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say, "It's the greatest one ever." Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, "I told you so." I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back at Fantasy Sports and Politics. With me, it's Mr. FSP, along with JT ATM Money and my cousin Mike. We're all on the line. We're going to jump right into the NBA Finals. At the top of the show, I told you guys that I'm not a big fan of how LeBron, you know, accepted the MVP of the tournament and the championship. You know, I got it. You have no worries. You're a wealthy man, and he made very smart business investments. He owns subsidized housing in Cleveland, so he's always going to have money coming from the government. So that's a good thing for him. And he has other investments that are paying off as well. Everybody feels, or not everybody, the vast majority of people feel that he is the best player on the planet. And, you know, deservedly so. He showed up, averaged a triple-double during the NBA Finals. So I'm not too mad at it. But I think the Spurs should have won that series. There were I got it. But some of those calls or non-calls should have been made, and they weren't.
Stop. Unbelievable.
Excuse me.
Unbelievable.
I didn't bring y'all in. I'm going to bring y'all in. Just relax. But the Spurs shot themselves in the foot in game 6. Basically won that game and, in effect, win the title. So I can't down the fact that the Heat persevered and came through. Another player that everybody forgot about, Shane Battier, powered the Heat through, making some clutch shots in game 7. So with that being said, JTA 10 Money, take it away.
37 points. 12 rebounds, 9 on the defensive side of rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. LeBron James, one of everybody's complaints, including my esteemed host last night, I was tooth through last night when that show couldn't go through because I wanted to go at him. Complain that LeBron James is not a clutch player. Complain that LeBron James doesn't show up on his crunch time for the most part. He's too much of a facilitator, like you say, Victor. He's too much of a facilitator and doesn't have that, wait a minute, I gave you your time. This is my
Mike
time.
Mike calls him the facilitator, not me. That's what's clear about Mike calls him the facilitator, not
okay,
me.
Okay, whatever.
So go ahead.
But what I'm saying is this. LeBron James showed up extremely big time in Game 6 and especially in Game 7. Now, for the most part, it's been sporadic. Who helps contribute to the win with LeBron? Sometimes it's Dwayne Wade. Sometimes it's another role player. This time, Shane Battier, who had a DNP for like the last two games, he got some decent playing time and he was hitting his shots, helped him to win the game. Every superstar player that's ever played NBA and won a championship hasn't done it on his own. He's always had a Robin to his Batman, or maybe a Catwoman, a third piece to the Robin and Batman. Okay? So, regardless of what you say, he's not the best player on the planet. The San Antonio Spurs, they're LeBron James. Go ahead, you shoot your jump shots. You're not driving the basket and getting easy layups. But you're not bowling your way to the basket. And LeBron James responded. Plain and simple. Every time they decide... they decided to leave him alone at the three-point line or even within the two-point area. He was bearing jump shots left or right, and they had no answer because they didn't want to come up to him and guard him because if they did, he would go on around them and go on to the basket. So their best percentage, because he was less than 30 or a little more than 30% from the field leading up to that game, but he still was dominant. He showed up big time in that game, showed he was the best player in that game, and any of the naysayers that had any kind of thoughts they want to put some chinks in LeBron James' armor, he disproved them all in that game. I'm not a LeBron James fan, but I got to hand it to the man. He showed up the last two games when they absolutely needed him, and some of his other players decided to show up too, and they're the world champions. And it coulda, woulda, shoulda. If it coulda, woulda, shoulda for next year, and I'll respond to your officiating calling. There was plays in that game that there was a lot of contact in that game that was never called, and that was good because there was a good game being played, and the referees swallowed the whistles at times when they should have. And the referees weren't anywhere in that game, meaning that you didn't say, well, the referee should have called that, or the ref calls them to lose this game, which is good. All the referees did made sure the game was consistent, and it was. Hats off to LeBron James and the Miami Heat. I'm not a fan of either one of them, but they came to play, and they play like back-to-back champions that they are.
All right, well, you know, there were a few calls that should have been made. I'll give an example. Dwayne Wade.
I can't believe it evened out. I didn't say it didn't, old man. I just
don't like the fact that they won. Go ahead, Michael. You've been biting your tongue. Go ahead.
I know you don't like the fact that they won. We know that. You know, I have spoken to so many people since Thursday about this on different shows, and you know the consensus is unanimous. LeBron James, best player on the planet. Period. If you don't like that, have a problem with that. It's now hate. He has got himself a seat at the big boy table now.
Sure does.
He is a back-to-back champion. He's a four-time MVP. So, you know, all this stuff about him leaving Cleveland, coming to Miami and all like that, Colonel, so what? So many players have left different teams and went to different teams or whatever. They just did it differently. I applaud them for doing it the way they did it. I didn't like the whole decision debacle, but you know, he cleared it up, paid out the money or whatever. So I ain't gonna hold it against him, but for so long. But as far as him being floor and playing, he's definitely the best player in the league. Also, another thing I got into a debate about, Popovich got out coached. And he got out coached because of his own doing. I thought that play where LeBron jacked up the three, it bounced, and Bosh grabbed the rebound and passed it to Ray Allen, game six, I thought that play right there was the crucial play that where Popovich let himself get out coached. Well, you know,
because he took Duncan up.
Should have had Tim Duncan on the floor. This was a heavyweight fight, man. These teams went back and forth and back and forth. So, you know, all that talk about officiating, sweet. Because these two teams deserve more than that. The Spurs deserve more respect than that. When you sit there and say that the officials should have did this, you're disrespecting them. And let me tell you something. Timmy Duncan played his ass off. There's two players that played his ass off in this series, and that's Timmy Duncan and that's LeBron James. There's no denying about it. You know, I think it was game six. Game six was atrocious for the Spurs. They ought to be ashamed of this because Timmy Duncan played his ass off, and they could not come up with a win. Nah, man. Nah, Vic. I ain't feeling you, bro. I'm not a LeBron fanboy. You know what I mean? I'm not a 3 year your newfound Heat fan. No, I'm not. And I will never be. Purple and gold. Kobe forever. You know what I'm saying? Right out there in that cesspool that's in L.A. right now, hoping they can get it together. But it's no question. LeBron is it. He's the man. This is his league. This is his time. Period. And we said that at the beginning of the playoffs.
Well, regardless of you know, what it is and what it is, they're the champions for another year. The talk is that Bosch might be gone. They might bring somebody in at a cheaper rate, that it's more physical. It doesn't matter to me. I just hope that that next year, every NBA game under the new commissioner is worth watching. Because, and I said it before, this series was very, 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 very good. I'm not taking anything away from the Heat, other than the fact that I think the Spurs shot themselves in the foot and should have won the series in Game Six.
Could have, would have, should have.
Was there? No, I got it. But they were 28 seconds away from being the champions, and that 28 seconds hurt, and it I wanted to say automatically, but it didn't automatically. It ended up hurting them.
Let me put it this way, and I think I said this on Thursday's show. The Heat were in two type of games that this happened to, and each coach did the same stupid ass thing, and I can't believe they did it.
Yeah.
The waning seconds of the Indiana game, the first game, the head coach took out Roy Hibbert, one of the best defensive centers in the league, took him out in the waning seconds of that game, and they lost the game. Okay? What did Greg Popovich do with Tim Duncan? Took Tim Duncan out in the waning seconds of that game, and the results were the same thing. So when I say coulda, woulda, shoulda, it happens. What are you going to do? It's in my opinion, with two bonehead moves from two coaches. That if I was a head coach, I would have my best players out there, especially one of my my center, the key to my team, the main defense of my team, in the game at the last waning seconds. And both times.
I mean, I got it.
Both times.
I got it.
And I'll say it again. Both times it cost the Indiana Pacers. Now, just think about this. If the Indiana Pacers had won that first game, Miami possibly would not be in the finals. Just think about that for a
minute.
That's true. Because they went seven games. And if Tim Duncan had not been sitting down, which I have no idea why a coach of Greg Popovich's stature would have Tim Duncan sitting on the bench near the end of that game, which helped Chris Bosh able to get the rebound to kick it out to Ray Allen to shoot that three-pointer. Why would you take that chance?
And then another thing, Jerry, what makes that decision that much worse is the fact that we're running over.
We're running over. We're running over. I got to go to the next topic because we still got a guest coming. We can talk about this probably tomorrow or later on, but right now I got to take a break.
Okay.
When we come back, we're going to go right into the NFC South. And then directly after that, we're going to go into Sam Allen. I guess my cousin couldn't wait a little bit. But all right, take a break. I'll be right back. Time to take a timeout, guys.
You all know and love her from the WNBA. But now you can hear her every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. It's Time Out with Sylvia Crawley.
This is Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. I'm your host. I have a very interesting show lined up for you tonight. We have Mr. Otis Winston. Otis, thank you so much for being on the show.
You know it's my pleasure, Sil.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, we're back. And we're short one person, but Jerry and I can keep going with it. Not a problem. What I want to do right now is briefly go over the Aaron Hernandez situation. It's getting updated as we speak. The arrest warrant has been prepared. It has not been served just yet, but it looks like it's inevitable that they're going to arrest this guy. And on obstruction charges. And what I want to say about this is Ray Lewis revisited. Ray didn't have much to do with what happened, but he was with the people and he knew the folks that, you know, that did the act. And I think that's the situation that Aaron Hernandez is in, even though it's very suspicious that his phone was smashed, as well as his own security. His own security information got destroyed.
Yep.
That means there's something on those. Now, phone records can be easily found.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what a smashed phone is going to do, but it can easily be found. So, I wanted to say, does not look good for New England Patriots, and most assuredly, not Aaron Hernandez.
I was right in that he went to the facility, New England Patriots facility, and they told him to go home. They don't want anything. I wouldn't say anything to do with this, but they pretty much have a stiff arm out to Aaron Hernandez now until he gets his act together, whatever that is.
Yep, Aaron Hernandez, he may or may not need to be on anybody's draft board anytime soon. But let's jump right into it, JT. Usually, type of show by itself, but we had a special guest, so let's bring it on.
Carrying the ball 20 times a game requires power and valor, not niftiness. The water bug and whippet backs rarely survive the wail and howl of the banshee. Stacked defenses in the pros. They must meld the butt of a billy goat to the sudden surge of a sprint. He does not move with polish or slickness. His method is not Grand Prix, but Demolition Derby.
Demolition Derby. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's about that time. We're going to go over the Carolina Panthers to start off the NFC South. Is that cool with you, JTATM Money?
Hey, it's your boat. I'm just driving on it.
All right. You're going to learn today. Let's do a review of the Carolina Panthers. According to Roto World, a sophomore slump for Cam Newton, only for half the season. Through the first 8 games of the year, Newton threw 6 touchdowns against 8 interceptions as the Panthers went 2-6. Over the second half, he dominated with 13 touchdowns versus 4 picks, and the team predictably won 5 of their final 8 games. The only bright spot was rookie middle linebacker Luke Kuechly, who I have very high when we do our IDPs, who led the league in tackles at 165 and has emerged as a true building block defensively. A rookie leading the league 165 tackles. So what's expected of the Carolina Panthers this year? New general manager Dave Gettleman had to clean up the mess left behind by his inept predecessor, Marty Herney. That meant the biggest moves he made in free agency were re-signing defensive tackle Dwayne Edwards, picking up former Raiders safety Mike Mitchell, and adding Dominique Hickson to the number 3 wideout mix. Run defense does project to be significantly better this season as a healthy John Beeson joins a dominant Luke Kuechly and rookie star Latuti in the front 7. But no matter what, this team is all about whether we see more of good Cam or bad Cam. Now, they have a defensive tackle that's supposed to be a star. Coming in, he was picked 14th overall. This kid is actually a beast. But let's go over the projected starters for the Carolina Panthers. And this is where I have my problem, Jerry. You can talk about this real quickly. Cam Newton is your starting quarterback. Derek Anderson or Jimmy Clausen will be his backup. He starts with Jonathan Stewart or D'Angelo Williams. Both of them are not worth your fantasy time unless you need a filler, and you can pick them both up off the waiver wire, in my opinion. The goal linebacker is Jonathan Stewart, but more than likely it's going to be Mike Tolbert. Mike Tolbert is also the fullback. At wide receiver, now I see something here too. I see an upgrade, at least from last year. Steve Smith, followed by Ted Ginn. Okay, I'm not going to go down the list of those behind him. But then, on the other side, we got Brandon LaFell, Dominique Hickson, Armani Edwards, David Geddes, and James Shaw. There's a possibility of them having some good folks on that end. And Dominique Hickson is already slated as the number 3 receiver. At tight end, Greg Olsen, which is a very good pick if you need one. Again, he's not going to be that dominant if Cam is taking off. We're not looking at him, but we'll see what happens. And Graham Gano, the former kicker of Washington Redskins and, Pittsburgh Steelers. How do you see the Carolina Panthers? I can go down their schedule, and we can break that down real quick. Or we can give your projections for them and then go over the schedule.
Well, go to schedule, and then we go from there.
All right. Well, let's see. They start off home for Seattle. They go to Buffalo, home for New York, Giants. Then they have a bye week, which is a problem I see already. Then they go to Arizona, at Minnesota, home for St. Louis, at Tampa, home for Atlanta, at San Fran. Go to New England, home for Miami, home for Tampa. Go to Miami, home for Tampa, at New Orleans, home for the Jets, home for New Orleans, at Atlanta. Here's some arrivals. Chase Blackburn, DJ Moore, Dominique Hickson, Drayton Florence, Michael Mitchell, and Ted Ginn Jr. I'm going to be honest with you guys. Based on their subtractions, and I don't really like their arrivals too much, but based on their subtractions and that schedule, I don't see these guys doing well at all this year. I mean, I got them beating Buffalo, and I got them beating the Jets. I mean, they surprised Atlanta, so I'll give them one Atlanta game. I'll give them one Atlanta game. But I don't see them doing anything else, dude, other than 3-13. I really don't.
Wow.
But what
do you got? I see them. I see him over 500. I definitely see him over 500. I see him losing to Seattle. I see him winning Buffalo, losing the Giants. I see him winning at Arizona, winning at Minnesota.
What?
Yeah. Yep. Winning at Minnesota and Arizona. I do believe they can pull both those off. It's back-to-back games, but I still think they can pull that off. I see him winning against St. Louis. I know St. Louis is going to be tougher. But they're playing home, which is key. St. Louis is a turf team. Carolina is playing on grass and outside, so I like them beating St. Louis. I see him splitting with the three division mates. I see him splitting with Tampa Bay. I see him splitting with Atlanta, and also see him splitting with New Orleans. They play all three of those guys tough all the time, so I see him splitting with that. I see him losing against San Francisco and New England. Those two back-to-back games, one's at home, one's away. I see him winning against Miami, and I see him beating the Jets. I have him at 9-7, based on what I'm looking here. And I think
better than last year.
Yeah, I think they could get 9-7. In my opinion, that's realistic. With a little luck. In one or two of the games, it can improve their record. But I think from what I'm seeing here, 9-7 is realistic.
Okay, I'll give you possibly Arizona because I told you I think they're going to surprise a lot of folks. I'll even give you the splits, but 9-7 I can't give you, bro.
Well, look when they play Arizona. You have to see with the schedule.
Well, I know.
They're on
a
bye, and they're coming off a bye. That's key. They're coming off a bye. So they get 2 weeks, basically, not 1 week, 2 weeks, basically, to prepare for Arizona, based on whatever Arizona is at the time going to the fifth week. So got a new head coach, got a new philosophy. Not to say that they can't take off right away. I'm talking about Arizona. So based on the circumstance that they're coming off a bye, so they're rested, and they got a chance to take a look at what Arizona's been doing for the first 4 weeks. They played in week five, Arizona. I gotta give them a good possibility of beating Arizona. And depending on how shaky or how good Christian Ponder is in Minnesota, is the way they're going to go. So I do believe Carolina has a pretty good run defense against AP. So we'll see what happens. I like 9-7. It wouldn't surprise me to 8-8, but I think they can get to 9 at least. So.
Wow. That would be a total reversal of what their rank is as far as last year.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see it, bro. I don't see it. But it's possible. Anything's possible. We're going to go over one more team, and then we're going to
mm-hmm.
go ahead and reach out to Sam Alvey. He's should be finishing up his class, and we're going to get him on the air real soon. But one of the more interesting teams in the NFC South that I think will give a lot of people fits because of last year's first-round draft pick and projected top five fantasy player. Jerry has him at number one. Talking about Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Mr. Doug Martin. Let's go over a review, okay? The Bucs secondary
mm-hmm.
quickly emerged as one of the fantasy owners to attack. When the dust settled, they ranked dead last in yards allowed per game and 28th in touchdowns allowed. On the bright side of things, rookie running back Doug Martin proved to be a revelation. The number 31 overall pick out of Boise State whipped off 1,926 total yards and scored 12 touchdowns, finishing second to only Adrian Peterson in fantasy points. Vincent Jackson was a rare free agent wideout pickup that worked as he set career highs in catches, 72, and yards, 1,384. Preview for this year. The Bucs knew their pass defense had to be addressed, so they did just that in a succinct way. Seismic way. Aggressive GM Mark Dominic traded away the number 13 overall pick for Darrell Revis and then drafted intriguing Mississippi State cornerback Jonathan Banks in the second round. It's equally as interesting on the other side of the ball, where Josh Freeman is a true make-or-break season. The Bucs decided not to extend his expiring contract and then drafted rocket arm North Carolina State quarterback Mike Lennon with the 73rd overall pick. Freeman needs to put up or hit the road. This is according to RotoWorld. Is getting you out there. Some of the arrivals, some of the departures, this is key to me for the Atlanta Falcons. Brian Leonard, he's in there. Chaz Henry, Darrell Revis, Deshaun Goodson, Eric Landry, George Savelli, Jonathan Casilius, Kevin Ogletree, Nate Keating, Steve Smith from St. Louis, but Steve Smith also, I believe, just retired. Tom Crabtree, who did that fake field goal touchdown for the Green Bay Packers. Their departures, and this is where I think they're going to hurt, because I think this is a big loss. Aurelius Ben, Corby Irvin, DJ Ware, Derek Hardman, EJ Biggers, Jeremy Trueblood, LeGarrette Blount, Laquan Lewis, Michael Bennett, defensive lineman Michael Bennett, Quentin Black, and Roy Miller. Now, the biggest one I see right now as being a detriment to leaving was Aurelius Ben. Even though he wasn't that big of a name when Mike, I can't
Williams.
Remember the receiver's name right.
Yeah,
Mike Williams wasn't, you know, doing too well, it was Aurelius Ben who stood up and did things on the opposite side of Vincent Jackson. But their projected starting lineup, Josh Freeman with Dan Orlovsky right behind him, Doug Martin, then Brian Leonard. They also have Jeff Demps. Jeff Demps is going to be outstanding for their special teams. He wanted to run track, so they traded LeGarrette Blount for Jeff Demps to Patriots. That's another story. Goal line back, and this is key for fantasy folks, Doug Martin. So Doug Martin is the starter, he's the goal line back, and he's the third down back. Okay, fullback Eric Lords, wide receivers, Vincent Jackson behind him, Tyquan Underwood, and no one else of mention. On the opposite side, Mike Williams, Kevin Ogletree, David Douglas, and Tim Wright. All, again, not major factors. Tyquan Underwood, being number three wide receiver, could see a lot of play since they're moving to a wider open offense. They're not really utilizing a tight end because at tight end they have Luke Stalker, Tom Crabtree, Nate Bynum, Zach Miller. Zach Miller should win that job, but I doubt it, knowing Greg Schiano. And the kicker is Connor Barth. So real quick, JT, here's their schedule. And we're going to break it down, and we're going to get to Sam in a few minutes. Start off at your Jets.
Not
home
my
for
Jets.
New Orleans. Home for New Orleans. At New England. Home for Arizona. Bye week. Home for Philly. At Atlanta. Home for Carolina. At Seattle. Home for Miami. Atlanta. At Detroit. At Carolina. Home for Buffalo. Home for San Fran, at St. Louis, at New Orleans. Now, because they have a lot of these games at home, they're tougher games, I'm giving them the big benefit of the doubt. So I'm going to go win at the Jets, and this is going to surprise you, win at New England, at New England, third game of the season.
Yep. Not happening. Go ahead.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They'll win against Arizona. They'll take a couple losses, beat Carolina. They'll beat Miami. They'll beat Atlanta. I got them actually sweeping Carolina, so that's another win. And Buffalo. And I think they finish out with two more wins. That makes them 9-7 instead of 7-9. What you got real quick?
Real quick, we're pretty close, but I have them on the downside of a winning record. The nine is on the loose on the loss side, and 7 on the win side. I think they're going to have somewhat early success early in the season, and then the last quarter of the season, or maybe 6 or 7 games of the season, are going to be tough games for them, and they're going to be losing. At least back-to-back games. I have them on the last 6 games. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Last 7 games. Atlanta, Detroit, Carolina, Buffalo, San Francisco, St. Louis, New Orleans. Atlanta, that's a loss. Detroit, at Detroit, they're going to lose that. At Carolina, they're going to lose that. They're going to win against Buffalo. That's home. They're going to win against Buffalo. They go. They're playing San Francisco at home. They're going to lose that. St. Louis is going to be having their it's going to figure them out by then, and going to figure their situation out. And they're playing in St. Louis. I see them losing that, and the last game is at New Orleans. They have a very tough schedule near the end of the season, and I see them on the downside. That's where they're going to get most of the losses in those last 7 games. I see them only winning one of those 6 of the 7 games at the end of the season. So 7-9 is what I see them. That's what I see them. So, I mean, New Orleans is not going to be any joke. So them playing I know it's a division rival, but New Orleans is going to come out with a chip on their shoulder, and they're going to wear, especially their division opponents, out. Absolutely going to wear them out. So...
Well, I agree with you on the New Orleans part. We're going to get to them in a minute. But 7-9, I don't think they're going to have the same record as last year. I really got to disagree on that.
No problem.
I mean, last year, 3 of the 4 teams had the same record, 7-9 last year. I mean, it's a real tough division. But I don't see that taking place with Tampa this year. I think Tampa's going to step out, and really kick some butt. I mean, I'm being straight up and honest about it. But because it's tough for anybody to win in the NFL, much less in that division. But Freeman is playing for his job as a starter. You know, if Shiano's willing to go ahead and get a big, tall, lanky quarterback in the second round to be a backup, I think he's doing it for a year and giving him opportunity to groom him so that he can eventually take over that starting job, just in case something happens with the contract negotiations with Freeman. Freeman is a guy that, you know, he's big, tall, has the arm, but his issue is consistency. He has not been consistent. You give him the strong running game, you give him the weapons, and I think that's what the Tampa Bay organization said. We gave you Dallas Clark as a tight end. We gave you Vincent Jackson, wide receiver. We gave you Doug Martin at running back. We gave you one of the better offensive lines in the NFL, but we still were only 7-9. They got to remember that a lot of that was based upon what happened with their defense. You know, they got to realize, like, they almost beat the Redskins, but their defense collapsed. They almost beat several teams, but their defense collapsed. And that's why he spent all that money on the defensive side last year. You know, but that's a big, big issue to me. Big, big issue to me. Right now, I'm going to take a break for a few minutes. When we come back, hopefully we'll have Sam Alvey on the line. We're going to give him a buzz and see what happens. When the commercials stop playing, if I'm not back on, the Masters won't be talking. So stick and stay. We'll be right back.
So you think you know something about fantasy sports, huh? Well, I've got a challenge for you. Would you be willing to go head-to-head against some of the best minds in fantasy sports, like the FSP crew, The Master, Black, Jeff the Joker, and others? Well, for a limited time, you can acquire your own fantasy team. That's right, you can own a fantasy football, baseball, or basketball team and beat the host of Fantasy Sports and Politics at their own game. For more information, go to fantasysportsandpolitics.web.com. That's fantasysportsandpolitics.web.com.
All right. I'm back.
If you love sports, you're in store for a treat. Every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can tune into The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. The Master Plan features
a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of NBA, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything. And this is The Master Plan.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Master Plan. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. It's Mr. FSP. I'm back in the place to be. Holding it down with my co-host, JTATM Money. Right now, we're going to bring on that guy we've been promising you for the longest time. He's a former Ultimate Fighter, tough enough competitor. He's currently in the MFC Maximum Fighting Championship, and he's that kid that walks into the ring smiling and fights when he smiles. Makes you want to knock him out just a little bit, but we're going to bring him on anyway. We're going to welcome to the show Mr. Sam Alden. How you doing, Sam?
Hey, I'm feeling great today. Thanks for having me on.
Great. We appreciate you jumping on. Again, like I said, my co-host, Jerry Taylor, is on the other end. So,
welcome,
here's
man.
Your task. Yes. Here's your task, Sam. You got to do this for me.
Okay.
I'm the MMA guy. Jerry's the boxing guy. Old school boxing guy. Okay? So your task right now, before we get into anything, tell folks who you are, where you're at, what you're doing, and then you got to convince Jerry to like MMA. That's all you got to do right now. Go at it.
All right. Well, I can do that right now. First off, I'm Smiling Sam Alvey, born and raised in Wisconsin, but I've been out in Southern California with the one and only Team Quest, trained right, you know, right, Dan Henderson's right-hand man.
All right.
I fought on fights for the MFC right now. MFC is a fantastic organization. I hope all of you get a chance to watch it. And the reason you should watch MMA is every fighter. I mean, the fights are fun, whether you're watching boxing or wrestling matches or MMA. But all fights are great. But MMA has personality to it. Boxing, you only get the personalities from the guys who are at the top of the line. You know, only the Mayweathers, the Pacquiao's. Everyone else is just trying to get somewhere to where they care, to where the fans care about who they are. But MMA, every fighter you find has a personality or a backstory or this or that. And you can see that in their fighting style. So it's every fight can be exciting, and by the end of the fight, you kind of care about one or the other, you know, either of the opponents. So I would say that's one of the biggest selling points MMA has.
All right. Now, I'm going to tell you, Sam, I'm going to let Jerry tell you, because I talk too much, according to my cousin and Jerry. Jerry,
what's
tell
that?
Sam why you don't like MMA. Tell him why you don't like MMA.
To me, and this is just my opinion, it's a glorified worldwide wet wrestling with guys just smashing each other in the face. Doesn't seem like, in my opinion, and just in my opinion, there's any skill involved in it. And it's just guys getting into the ring with really no protection and just hammering each other into some type of submission. One guy falls, or another guy falls on him and gives him some type of submission move, and that's it. Seems like to me, in my opinion, is glorified wrestling.
Boo!
Well,
boo!
I got to ask, you know, you said it's not a lot of talent in it. If that's the case, how come every time a boxer comes into the MMA ring, they lose?
That's what I'm talking about. Get him, Sam. Get him, Sam.
Well, because it's a simple fight, a boxer is not used to that type of fighting. So, I mean, that's my opinion. They're not used to that type of fighting. It's more like wrestling combined with street fighting. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, you got to come in. Have you ever tried training with someone? Because you know, MMA has got a huge turnover rate. You can make a fan out of anyone, and they just you find yourself into a gym, start talking with them. You know, do a workout or two. I promise you, you do a week of it, and you'll be maybe not as big a fan as boxing, but you'll like it a lot more than you.
Okay.
Yes.
I have to take you up on that. I have to go find a gym that have MMA training or whatever and go from there.
And I'd say out on the East Coast, there's a lot of gyms. There's a lot of good gyms. Or shoot, if you're ever in Southern California, look me up. I'll put you up for a week. You can come train with me.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about, Sam. Sam, I'm in North Cal. I'm up here in Dublin near Hayward. Jerry. Yeah, I'm near Tracy. But Jerry's in that state that just banned mixed martial arts, New York. He's in New York, New Jersey. So, yeah, that's his problem. He's never going to get to see a really good fight. So.
Hey, I wouldn't say never. It'll happen eventually. I just don't know when eventually he's going to come around.
All right. Well, tell the folks a little bit about what's going on with you right now. You said you had two fights in MFC. Tell us about what happened with you after you left the show and your experience being on Tough.
Well, I was on Tough, and it was a good experience. It wasn't quite what I was expecting. Everyone goes in there, but they don't tell you how little you do while on the show. But you're there for about 6 or 7 weeks. You do almost nothing the entire time. Which gets very, very boring. Yeah, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I get to work with some of the greatest coaches in the sport, which was fantastic. But the actual experience is really boring. So they don't show that much on TV. They only show the highlights of it. But it's made me a recognizable name. I'm out there a little bit more. I'm more of a commodity, and that helped me get into the MFC, one of the biggest shows in the world. It's not the UFC, but it's, you know, can be meant in the same sentence as the UFC. The one thing the MFC has is every card they put on is a good card. And more than that, almost every fight they have on their card turns out to be a good fight. Mark Pavlich is the owner, the CEO, the GM, the matchmaker. And he's kind of the people's promoter. He finds fights that people want to see. And they'll take a boxer and they'll put him against a kickboxer or a wrestler against a jiu-jitsu guy just to make sure the good fights happen. And I've been blessed to be part of two of his cards. I should be part of his third one here in October. And I'm just getting ready for that.
Mm. So promotion is what I kept hearing. The mixed martial arts genre versus boxing is somewhat of a mixed bag, so to speak. Explain to me and the listeners about, you know, and to Jerry, since he's a boxing guy, the importance of these guys putting on fights people want to see versus putting on fights just to make money.
Well, the reason the UFC is as big as the UFC is they have all the fighters in the world that are, you know, the best or close to the best, and they can make really exciting fights with that. And you get some of the smaller promotions, some of the local shows that aren't as good because they just want to make money. And there's a significant difference when watching the two shows. You watch any MFC card to any to most cards that are just in your backyard. And there's a huge difference in talent. The audience can see it, the audience can appreciate it, and the audience will come back to the MFC, to the UFC, or to Bellator. And that's really where the sport's heading is. Every promotion is starting to really look for decent fighters to put on the card.
I mean, that's the big thing. And you mentioned that you're Dan Henderson's right-hand man, so you got that loaded right hand ready. You know, talk about the fight he just had with Rashad. You know, what happened in that fight? I saw it. And to me, this is just to me, don't have Dan come beat me up now. He could have won that fight had he just done more in the third round. I mean, but that was a fight. I'm going to tell you the truth. That card was lackluster and boring. And I'm kind of, you know, upset that I paid a little money for it. But tell me, what happened in that fight?
In the fight, it's... He got too comfortable. I thought he won the second round. He and his corners thought he won the second round also.
Yep. I thought he won the first.
He got out there in the... What's that?
I thought he won the first, but I thought Rashad beat him in the second. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. He definitely won the first. He definitely lost the third. The second was close. I had him up. Maybe I'm just biased. But anyway, he was up also. I think he got comfortable with being up going into the third round. And, you know, two of the judges scored it wrong, or scored it, not wrong, but, you know, against him.
Yeah,
and that happens. He preaches it to us. Don't ever let it go to the judges, because if they can get it wrong, they will. And you see it time and time again. They're getting better, kind of, but you don't ever want to relax in the third round, because you don't know how they scored the first two. He said he just comfortable.
Mm. Okay. How do you prevent from getting too comfortable in the octagon? I mean, I saw your fights in the UFC, tough. But how do you not get comfortable if you know you're dominating this guy and there's a chance that I don't have to knock him out to win, or I don't have to submit him to win? I can get this decision. Is it just a mindset, or is it you have to go in there wanting to knock him out every time? Or submit them every time?
Yeah, everyone's different. Me, personally, I want to knock him out at any point. My last fight against Jay Silva, I went in the third round knowing I won the first two rounds. But my goal was I wanted to knock him out. And I got the knockout, the third round knockout. It doesn't happen often, but it was my first third round knockout, but I was happy to have it. And so for me, I'm trying to knock him out with every punch of every second of every round. Some guys are a little different. Some guys will play it a little more like a sport. I know Greg Jackson's gym takes a lot of guff for that, but they try and play the scorecard, play it more as a sport than a fight. And sometimes it ends up in being boring fights. But you just gotta, you know, more than anything, you gotta know that those judges will screw you every chance they get.
Wow.
You can avoid it. Don't let it go to the judges.
Mm. So we're going to get to Team Quest in a minute, but do you see MMA or major MMA promotions, because you say MFC puts on fights people want to see, but do you see other promotions putting on cards or heading down the road that boxing went down after the big fighters of the 80s and 90s left, and it became more of a how can I hold on to my title and still fight situation? I mean, that's what I see. I see, especially the UFC going down that road, whereas they're not getting, you know, the number one contender to fight. They're giving the person that has the biggest mouth, Chael Sonnen, a title shot just because they can promote. You know, where do you see mixed martial arts going as far as promotion-wise?
Well, I think people are going to get better. I know right now it seems in a couple of the weight classes, like, it's just a one-sided fight. I don't think it's so much the UFC's fault as it is our champions are just way better than everyone else. Anderson Silva will go undefeated forever. Mark my words for it. He's just that much better than everyone. GSP.
Bones Jones. Bones Jones, bro. Bones Jones. I got
Bones Jones.
He'll
although, Anderson's going to walk through them if they ever fight.
What?
I think it's an easy fight for Anderson. I like Jones. I think he's an exciting fighter. But I don't think he's technically very sound. I think he's just more athletic than everyone. And he's got that 84-inch reach. I think Anderson will be able to play his reach. Jones in his last fight against Shale showed his wrestling, and that made me think once or twice maybe Anderson wouldn't win, but nah, Anderson will win. He's unbeatable. The talent is going to go up. We're going to get more super athletes, John Jones, more wrestlers like GSP who just can't be, play on top. For the most part, I think it is the number one contender. Chael did kind of talk himself into a title fight against Jones, but it doesn't happen often that way.
Yeah, it doesn't. I just want to make sure that the sport, because I love it, it remains pure and things of that nature. But I want you to talk about Team Quest and what's going on with you and what's in your future and how people can get in touch with you.
Yeah, I've been a member of Team Quest for about 2.5 years now. We're weeks away from opening a new facility. Right since Dan was the Pride champion, we've worked in the same gym, and it's about a 2,000-square-foot gym with a boxing ring. The facility we're about to move into is 27,000 square feet with a full-size cage, a full weight equipment upstairs, downstairs, cardio, I mean everything. And this gym is going to be nice. It's going to welcome in the new, Team Quest has been on the top of the charts for a long time, but this new gym is going to help build us bigger, better, and faster than ever before.
It's
pretty great.
So.
What's that?
I would love to have Dan come on the show and talk to us and to the fans out there who love MMA. So put a bug in his ear if you can for me.
I'll mention that that you're looking to talk to him. I don't know if I have the power to get him to do it, but I know he is a fan. Maybe you would.
That's great. So you're hoping your next upcoming fight is in October? You want to fight on the October card?
Yeah, I might do a kickboxing fight before the October card, but I'll definitely be on the MFC October card. I love fighting up in Canada. It's got some of the best fans of anywhere I've fought. And so any chance I can get up there, I get up there. And they've been very receptive to the Smiling Sam fighter.
Okay. So with that being said, how can folks reach you and follow you and follow your career?
I welcome everyone to follow my fan page, Smiling Sam Alvey, or... hit me up on Twitter. I really do a good job of getting back to anyone that wants to comment or ask me a question, and that's at Smilin' Sam. So hit me up on either of those. I do a pretty good job at keeping in contact with friends, family, and fans.
Absolutely right. That's how I got you.
Yeah.
Well, we want to thank you for coming on the show. We want to thank you very, very much for taking time out of your training schedule. I know you had a class you were given, and we appreciate you.
Yes.
And if you ever want to stop by, if you play fantasy football, baseball, basketball, or whatever, let me know. I got a league for you, and I can beat your butt in that because I can't beat you in MMA. On the show, Sam.
Well, hey, thanks for having me on. It was a real pleasure. And, after my next fight, before my next fight, have me on again, and I'll give you the download.
Oh, by all means, you have my Twitter. Just drop me a line. Tell me you want to come on and promote. Have MFC come on. I'll help promote them, too.
Oh, perfect. I will do.
Thanks a lot,
Sam. All right.
Thanks,
Sam. Take it easy.
You take care.
You
bye-bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Sam Alvey, former UFC Tough Enough contender or competitor, current MFC fighter. We got about 30 seconds left of live air. Stick and stay with us. Check us out in the archives because Jerry and I are going to go over the last two teams in the NFC South. And next week we're going to break down. Where do you want to break down? NFC what? NFC East or West or North?
Let's go to the North.
All right. NFC North next week, right on Fantasy Sports and Politics. We are officially in overtime. So, JT.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. MMA isn't your thing, but Sam said he'll put you up so you can go through a couple classes. Hey, dog, I'm trying to get him to beat you down.
Yeah, I know that.
Have him smiling as he kicks you in the face and kicks you in the old arthritic leg.
Let me put it this way. I used to be, but I'm not anymore, an athletic person, so I'm grossly out of shape. And and I'm trying to think the guy who's on Fox, who's big time into
Glazer.
Yes, yeah, he's big time into MMA, and he's trained a few guys because he's so big into MMA. And I've seen some of the workouts because they televised some of them, and I know that's not easy. I know that the training for MMA is not easy, but that's the horse of a different color. Training and actually doing MMA in the ring. The show that they give you,
that's all I can say.
I'll never be ready for that. If you had seen me about 10, 20 years ago, I'd probably been ready for it. But now, 59 going on 60 and not in the top of shape, he'd probably give me a heart attack the first day out. So.
Well, we can't have that. We can't have a 15 to collect some money from you, so we can't have you dropping dead. But anyway.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, I want to thank Sam, and I want to thank Jorge for coming on.
Yeah.
And I got them by Twitter. They're true. They are true. They will talk to you, and they will interact with you. This is on their Twitter page, Jorge Lima MMA. That's at Jorge Lima MMA on Twitter, and then Smiling Sam on Twitter for Sam Alvey. So check them both out. Good guys, great competitors. Best of luck to both of them in their endeavors. Let's get back to what I love to do the most. Should I play it? Nah, I ain't gonna play it. I'm not gonna play it. I'll do this one.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Because the New Orleans Saints are saying exactly that to the Atlanta Falcons. Am I wrong, Jerry?
What goes around comes around. The wrath of Sean Payton and Drew Brees is going to rain down on the NFC South and any other opponent that they have in the schedule.
Well, let's go through this real quick. 2012 was dismal. The NFL is a no-excuse league, but the Saints had a legitimate one in 2012. Crippled by the Bounty Gate scandal, they opened the season with a four-game losing streak and never recovered. Defense was mostly to blame, as they set a league record for the most yards allowed in a mind-blowing 440.1 per game. That led to shutouts and a second consecutive 5,000-yard passing season for Drew Brees. So in a way, it helped fantasy players and Drew Brees, but it sucked for the team. 2013 preview, getting their leader and head coach Sean Payton back in the fold will be huge. And outside of left tackle Jerome Bushrod, the key pieces of the entire offense returned intact. It's up to off-injured 2010 second-round pick Charles Brown to fill the void on Drew Brees' blind side. During the draft, the Saints traded away yet I'm saying that many, many times for a reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Underutilized power back Chris Ivory for a fourth-round pick who's going to beast out for the Jets if he's out of trouble. They also addressed the back end of their defense by grabbing the best safety available, Texas's Kenny Vaccaro. Kenny Vaccaro is their rookie to watch because, you know, since they didn't have Darren Sharper when Darren Sharper left, you know, there is no power or there's no real free safety back there. The old guy, Roman Harper, he was a compliment to Darren Sharper. He was a compliment. And last year it proved that they needed someone back there with Harper because it just didn't look good. All right, their projected starting lineup, and this is interesting to me. Drew Brees, his backup, Seneca Wallace. Okay, starting running back, Mark Ingram. You know, there really isn't a starting running back in this system in New Orleans. They have Mark Ingram, Darren Sproles, Pierre Thomas, Travarius Cadet, and Sean Alston. I think those other two will probably be special teamers or not even on the team because everyone knows Darren Sproles is a third down back. Mark Ingram or Pierre Thomas will be the goal line back. Fullback is Jed Collins. Now, here's another issue that I see. But it's up to this one cat who I think should jump out there, but he can be consistent to take the job. But Marcus Colston is on one side. We don't care about the backups on his side. Joe Morgan, Kenny Stills. You know, Kenny Stills is a threat. Courtney Roby, Andy Tam. But the number two receiver, Lance Moore, Nick Kuhn, here's the guy that I think should step up and step out. Chris Givens, okay? Saleem Akeem, Jarrett Faison, and their third wide receiver is Joe Morgan. And the guy who I think is going to be the number one tight end this year, unless they really do flex out Vernon Davis and put him at wide receiver a lot, is Jimmy Graham. And Garrett Harvey is the kicker. You want to speak someone, you're breathing hard. You okay?
You talking about the not in the top 100, Jimmy Graham?
Well, think about it this way. Matter of fact, I was going to say this for Atlanta, but think about it this way. Matt Ryan was in the 2010 top 100. 2011 top 100. 2012, he wasn't even in it. Came back this year and was number 17. So there's a precedence for coming in hot after not being on that thing. I don't want that to happen for Tony Romo because I really don't want him on that list at all. But we'll see when we talk about the NFC East. But, and I want to point out that New Orleans is going to a 3-4 defense. Rob Ryan, especially. Wherever Rob Ryan has gone, the defense has gotten better. Even though last year there were a lot of lapses with the Cowboys, it really wasn't the defense's fault as to why they were losing games. Their offense couldn't stay healthy. That's the reason. But anyway, players on the move. They brought in Ben Watson from Cleveland, Jason Smith from your team, the Jets, Jim Leinart, Keenan Lewis, Keon Coleman, Luke McCown, Preston Parker, Scott Fujita, who just retired, actually. They brought him back so he can retire. And then Victor Butler, who's also out for the season. The Partridge, Chase Daniels, Chris Ivory, David Thomas, Jerome Bouchard, Johnny Patrick, Jonathan Casillas, and Turk McBride. Only big name on there that went away was Chris Ivory. Chase Daniels is a very good quarterback, but he's a backup and
you
small
keep
quarterback.
Up?
So whatever, dude. Okay, let's go down the schedule. And they opened up with two really good matchups. I think these two first matchups are going to decide what their season is going to be like. Home for Atlanta at Tampa. Home for Arizona and Miami. Then they go on the road to Chicago and New England. Key point here, which is good for them, they have a bye at week 7. Then they come back and they're going to destroy some teams. Buffalo, at the Jets, home for Dallas, home for San Fran, at Atlanta, at Seattle, home for Carolina, at St. Louis, at Carolina, finish up the season home at Tampa Bay. Now, I'm going to go down this list. It's going to surprise some folks. Check this out, and I'm calling it right now. Game 1, September 8th, 1 p.m., will be an overtime game with the Atlanta Falcons, and Atlanta wins that game in overtime. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that means New Orleans goes 0-1. They come back, beat Tampa, beat Arizona, beat Miami, lose to Chicago because they're at Chicago. Come home and beat New England. Now you got to
remember. No, they're at New England. That's two back-to-back road games.
I know, and I said they beat New England.
In New England.
In New England, yes. They beat, they go on by. I told you it was possible. They go on by. They beat Buffalo, the Jets, the Cowboys, lose to San Fran. They beat Atlanta because they're at home.
The first game is home.
I'm sorry. Then they go to Atlanta and beat Atlanta.
In Atlanta.
Then they go to Seattle. Yes, because I have them losing. I have them losing at home. They're going to split with Atlanta.
Okay.
So they're going to beat Atlanta in Atlanta. Then they're going to lose to Seattle in Seattle. They'll beat Carolina. I think it's going to be a tough game at St. Louis, but I got them beating St. Louis. They'll lose to Carolina, and they'll finish the season beating Tampa Bay. So by that, I have them at 11-5.
Really?
Yes.
11-5. Very interesting.
What you got, old man?
Well, Victor, I call you by your name. I don't call you old man. Don't call you anything but Victor. Victor or Vic. I get old man. But that's not a problem. Not a problem. I consider the young source, so I take it. Anyway. As you being who you are, you're mistaken in your analysis. But I see this division being extremely, extremely, and I'll say it again, extremely close between New Orleans, Carolina, and Atlanta. I think all three of
them at 9-7.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. See, now you're catching on. I see this being extremely even division, knocking off themselves as they meet, whether it's home or away, and doing most of their damage outside of the division. But being that they have a lot of common opponents, some of those common opponents are going to be beaten up on the NFC South. So, with that being said, I said Carolina, I said they're 9-7. I said Tampa Bay, 7-9. I'm going with New Orleans. And it's a toss-up because one of these two games can go either way. But I think they're no better than a 10-6 team. And 9-7 is where I have them, 9-7. But they're no better than a 10-6 team based on their schedule, in my opinion.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. Just look at the opponents that they're playing outside of the division. All four of these teams. Look at the opponents that they're playing outside of the division. NFC West, very tough, very extremely tough division, and parts of the NFC East. So
AFC.
They're going to have
AFC.
You
said NFC is AFC East.
Oh, well, no. Some of them play the NFC. They play NFC East opponents too. New Orleans
plays
that. They play the Cowboys, and Atlanta plays Washington, and I think Carolina.
I'm
saying
just,
the,
The whole division?
No, no, not the whole division. I'm just saying the pieces that they're playing from different divisions. They're playing all the AFC East. I understand that. But they're also playing parts of the NFC West and the NFC East. Being that's the opponents outside of the division that's going to cause them the most problems.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I got them better than that, but we'll see. Now for the last team. For the last team.
ATL.
In the show. Yeah, the Dirty Dirty South, who I believe got an upgraded running back based upon what they do. Not the fact that the talent is better, but based on what they do, they have an upgraded running back. And Steven Jackson is going to be a very, very big, big surprise for whoever drafts him in fantasy.
No surprise for me.
Big surprise.
No surprise for me. Anybody who knows fantasy, you know, let me put it this way. You do your analysis, and you do your thing, and then I'll do mine.
All right, all right, all right. 2012 review. Handcuffed by washed up Michael. Oh, I didn't say this. This is by RotoWorld.com. Handcuffed by washed up Michael Turner. The
keep it real.
Offense became one dimensional. Yep. No problem. Using an up tempo scheme beautifully crafted by first year offensive coordinator Dirk Koetter, Matt Ryan to career highs in pass attempts, 615. And in yards, 4,719, and in touchdowns with 32. Julio Jones and Roddy White were both top 10 fantasy wideouts, and Tony Gonzalez was fantasy's number 3 tight end at the age of 36. The Falcons' season ended painfully when they blew a 17-0 lead to the 49ers in the NFC Championship game. That hurt me, too, because I thought they were going all the way. 2013 preview. Like a beloved pet being put out of his misery, Roto World is crazy for this. Michael Turner was released March. It opened the door for the Falcons to steal Steven Jackson in free agency, which will certainly lead to a more explosive running game. 37-year-old Tony Gonzalez briefly flirted with retirement, but unsurprisingly came back for one more run at an elusive Super Bowl. Defensively, the loss of Brent Grimes and free agency was plugged in the draft when the Falcons traded up to select Washington cornerback Desmond Trufant at number 22 overall. Trufant's a beast, by the way. His brother's in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But not Beasley. I think this kid is going to be the best one out of the three of them. Just my opinion. All right. Starting lineup, and this is a point of concern for me. Matt Ryan, his backup, Dominique Davis. Nothing better ever happened to Matt Ryan. But other than that, I like what they got. Steven Jackson, Jacquez Rogers, Jason Snell. Steven Jackson's goal lineback. Jacquez Rogers will come in from time to time. And here's, see, this is why I said Steven Jackson is one of those guys. So one of those guys you might want. He's also the third down back. But you know, Jacquez will be in there from time to time. Brady Ewing is the fullback. I think he'll be subbing in and out with Jason Snelling. Their strong point, wide receiver Julio Jones followed by Harry Douglas. Nobody else really on that side as wide receiver one, wide receiver number two. Excuse me, Roddy White, and again, nobody really worthwhile behind him. Harry Douglas is the number 3 receiver. Well, here's a problem. Here's a problem I saw in the Atlanta Falcons draft. Well, it's not a problem, but I think it needs to develop quickly. At tight end, Tony G is starting the Michael Palmer behind him. But that kid out of Stanford, Levine Toyo-Olo, that kid can play, and he's going to push for that number 2 spot. Hopefully he gets it because he's the heir apparent to Tony Gonzalez, in my opinion. Kicker Matt Bryant. let's go to their schedule. At New Orleans, St. Louis, at Miami, New England, the Jets, bye week. Tampa Bay, at Arizona, at Carolina, Seattle, at Tampa, New Orleans, at Buffalo, at Green Bay, Washington, at San Fran, and they finish out the season with Carolina. Now, I don't think they're going to be 9-7 at all. I think they're going to be more 10-6, 11-5. As I said before, I think they're going to win that first game at New Orleans in overtime. It's going to be probably the best game of the weekend. I think they're going to beat St. Louis and Miami and New England and the Jets. So I have them coming out 5-0. Then I think they're going to come out and be so full of themselves, they're going to lose to Tampa, beat Arizona, lose to Carolina at Carolina, lose to Seattle, but then come back and beat Tampa, lose to New Orleans, beat Buffalo, beat Green Bay, lose to Washington, beat San Francisco, and beat Carolina. That's what I have. So, some arrivals that makes me think this is going to take place. OC Human Euro, Steven Jackson. And they got a good DB in Terrence Johnson. But they lost Dante Robinson to Kansas City, and they're not considering bringing John Abraham back, which is dumb in my opinion. But, hey, it is what it is. And Brent Grimes, another solid player that I don't think they should have parted ways with. But go ahead, JT, ATM Money.
Like I said, this is going to be a very competitive league. They play a lot of the same common opponents. With that being said, I think they start the season, the first five games and the last five games, the same. 3-2, first five games, 3-2, the last five games. Middle of the season is going to dictate which way do they go. I think they go the same way as New Orleans and Carolina. 9-7. The common opponents outside of the division are going to determine which way they go. It could be one game or another. 9-7, 10-6. That's how I see these three teams possibly being. I don't think that any of these teams get up to 11 wins. I really don't. Can't see it. Not the way they have the schedule out. Can't see it.
I mean, I understand. I disagree.
I know you do. That's okay.
But
that's all right.
That's why you're the master, and I'm the master of the master. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. whatever you want it to be, it'll be, Victor. Whatever you want it to be.
Que sera, sera, sera.
No.
Whatever
will
be.
You've been out in Cali too long, man.
Go ahead with that old guy.
Sound a little on the estrogen side of that.
Oh,
face,
for real?
Victor.
For real? You going there? I just call you old. That's okay.
He
can
call me
old.
That's respect factor. You can call me old. I got a lot of experience. Lot of experience, young man. Lot of experience.
And it's
shown out in baseball, and it's going to show out this year in football.
Well, you hope it does. I mean, I took your advice last year on Matty Ice in two of my leagues, and I won one, and the other one, well, didn't do so hot. But I did compete. I won three titles last year. But
that's
that
good.
One that I had Matty Ice, that one I had Matty Ice in, well, two of them I had Matty Ice in, I believe. You were a part of that one that I utterly destroyed you and everyone else, the Polly Palace. But it is what it is. it's good to be king.
Oh, boy. You're all absolutely right. You are so right. You are absolutely right, Victor. It's good to be the king. And you remember that while this baseball season is going along.
Oh, whatever. I'm making my comeback.
Come back from what?
I'm making my comeback. That's all you need to know. I'm making my comeback. That's all you need to know. All you need to know. All right. Anyway. Well, thank our guests, Jorge Lima and Sam Alvey. I wish my cousin was on a little bit longer so we could discuss some of this stuff as well. Well, I figured he had to go. So, JT, ATM Money, I want you to go ahead and give your parting shot, and then we're going to get out of here.
Parting shot is this. I want to thank everyone that appeared on the show, just like Victor said. Also want to make sure that you listen to the other programs that are on this network, FSP, which is us, on 1 o'clock. Tomorrow will be the master plan. We'll be talking about some fantasy baseball. And this is the 22nd. It'll be 23rd of June. I'm going to start gearing up for fantasy football. I think I'm going to be talking about some fantasy football tomorrow. Tune in to find out what exactly I'm going to be talking about, but it's going to be fantasy football. I think you're going to be a little surprised on a couple of things I may say. So that's all I got to say.
All right, well, make sure whenever you do finish up your positions that you let me do my IDPs. I love my IDPs. You got to know when to hold them. Know when to hold them.
Oh, boy. You know what? You are too Hollywood for me, man. You are too Hollywood for me, man. Oh, boy.
Whatever, boy.
My man Victor out in Cali and going Cali. Oh, man.
I'm going back to Cali. One thing I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, is I want to thank everybody, especially Blog Talk Radio, for putting us out there. The FSP Crew Show last week did over 22,000 listens. That's amazing. So I want to thank everybody for listening to the programs and Blog Talk Radio for putting out it. That kind of cushioned the blow of the mess that they did yesterday. But I appreciate it all. I want to thank Black, Jerry, and Jeff for doing what they do and keeping it going on, and Matt for his program, No Chase on Fridays, and the entrepreneur driving force, Sylvia Crawley, for all the things she's doing, with Time Out with Sylvia Crawley on Mondays, Jerry again on Sundays with the Master Plan. I'm not sure when Kim or if Kim will return, but we'll see. Compassion to King, great show. Would love to have it come back. We'll see what happens. If not, I got an open spot. Who's out there? Who wants it? Please go to fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com to find out what's coming up next on every show. Buy a team. If you want to compete against us in the fantasy leagues, they're there. I'm here. Let's make it happen, homie. All right. For me, FSP, Vic, and JT, ATM Money, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
You want to talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views. You know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking Fantasy Sports.